All right, we probably should get started. And good morning to you. 3 days left. You might make it. We're going to look at the relationship between the strong and weak believers today. Probably move fairly quick through the first part because I want to get to the questions that we can ask to help judge some of these things. But it's on page number 52. In your notes, open your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 14. Understand, as we get started today, that the issues we're going to be talking about are not sin issues. The Word of God is very plain about what are sin issues, what are not. But there's also gray areas in Scripture, or as one man put it, areas that we don't quite understand exactly what the Lord would have. And sometimes some believers have freedom to do some things. Others do not have that freedom. You well know, I, in times past, struggled with alcohol. So I would say that it would be an absolute sin for me to ever even sit down at a meal and have a glass of wine. Although for others, that may be totally permissible. That would be one of those gray areas. We know that the drunkenness, without a doubt, is sin. But is it sin? And this is something you guys will have to figure out for yourselves. But is it sin for you to have a glass of wine with your meal? That would be something, again, that would come down to those gray areas we do see in Scripture, where at times, and we can debate all of that, we won't do that today, but a little wine for the stomach's sake. So you balance all of that out. For me, it would, without a doubt, be sin. But to others, they would have that freedom. So we're going to look at just some of those areas. We're going to ask a few questions. As I said, we'll move through this first part fairly quickly, or try to anyways. But let's pray, and we'll get started. Father, again, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the reality that we can love one another, and that needs to be our desire, whether it causes us to not be able to do things we may want to do, but so that we don't cause the brother or the sister to stumble. Lord, we just ask for your blessing on our time today as we talk about just this critical area. Father, we praise you, and we just desire to give you the glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. What happens when Christians differ on their convictions? And I actually would probably change that word to preferences, but it's Mr. Miles' notes, so we will use the word convictions. This can lead to big problems in the local church. We see this in the church at Rome. Some thought it was a sin to eat meat. Others thought it was important to keep Jewish holy days. The situation became a big problem when the believers began to judge and criticize one another's. Problems with disunity occur when Christians overemphasize little areas of differences. What are some of those areas, or what could some of those areas be? What could be some little areas of differences that you might disagree over that could cause problems in a church, Evan? Music. How did I know that one was going to be first and foremost? Absolutely. And where do you, what would be the problem behind music? I mean, why would you say music? Okay. As you're going, keep in mind I am very, very conservative in my music, so. Go ahead. Thank you for loving me, brother. Christine?
A lot of it has to do with the fact that, like, some
Okay. Okay. What are some, let's get off of music because I feel like we could go a long time in that conversation. That's very good. And I do believe we have to be very careful. But again, the end of that is love. And I would be more than willing to discuss my viewpoints on music with you, maybe outside of the class. But what maybe are some other little areas that could cause some strife in a church?
Caleb?
Alright. I think I'll let that one go too. Josh, you have something? Yeah, I mean, that can cause real divisions. What would be the two sides of that? Okay. I wonder where Josh stands on that issue. But how do you balance that out? I mean, let's use face masks. I mean, what should be our attitude toward it? David. Yeah, for me, and I know there's a lot of confusion about it, but for me, and I've said it even before school started in staff meetings, we were talking about whether we were going to be mandated to have to wear face masks here. And my thought was if it meant for us to be able to have class and be able to help continue to train, people, then it's not a pride issue for me. I'll put on a face mask. I mean, I'll put on a face mask and I'll go into Menards, so why wouldn't I put on a face mask to be able to continue to be a part of what the Lord is doing here? I think part of the problem is sometimes it becomes a pride issue. Well, you can't tell me what I'm gonna do. Well, they tell you how fast you can drive. Right? I mean, so you try to balance all of that out. We want to be careful. We don't want to, none of us like, I'm going to be very careful here as well. None of us really like more control over us. But yet at the same time, we don't want to cause the brother to stumble. So for me, just in the area of face masks, if that's what it took for us to be able to have school, then I would have gladly put one on. Well, maybe not gladly. I wouldn't have loved it. But at the same time, I would have been willing to do that. So yeah, there's lots of these little areas that even maybe aren't even in the scriptures, but yet at the same time, the principle is there. And that I think would be the case with face masks. Let's go to our notes here. Somebody read, what does scripture say about this problem? How can we maintain unity? Somebody read the whole chapter of Romans chapter 14 for us, please. Preferably somebody that can read well and loudly. Everybody chickened out as soon as I said that. I'm sorry, I messed up. Okay, Daniel, please.
Judge another servant. To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. 1
To him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat or drink wine, nor to do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself with what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin.
All right, amen. Thank you, Daniel. Okay, part of the issue that we need to keep in mind as we're going through this passage is, what makes us righteous? What is it that God looks at and says, there's a righteous man? It's not the things we do. It's not the things that we would call preferences. Okay? Our righteousness is in Christ. And this is one of those things I'm preaching on right now, so be careful not to just go on and on and on about it, but our righteousness is in Christ, in our position in Him. He sees us as righteous through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the things that we would call or assume that would make us more righteous are just performance-based living type of things. I wear a tie when I preach still. It's just a preference for me. It's, I guess I could call it a conviction. I don't do it because I'm more holy. Of course, if I wear a tie, of course I'm more spiritual than somebody who would preach without a tie on, right? But that becomes the mentality. I wear a tie because I feel it's right before the Lord to, and it's an area of respect. I do not look down. Mr. Miles and I have debated this time and time again. Even when I preach in chapel, I'll put a tie on and he'll say, you don't need a tie. Well, why not? Well, you can, but why? So we have gone around about that a few times, and just to me, it's a respect issue. But that's for me, okay? I don't think any less of those who don't wear ties when they preach. It's just one of those areas in which I stand. So our spirituality is not found in wearing a tie, or even the music we listen to. I threw that word out there again. I'm going to pull it right back, okay? Our spirituality is found in Christ. Now, the stronger believer is going to have freedoms in some areas where the weaker brothers will not have freedoms in some areas. As I talked about with alcohol, that would cause me to stumble. I would be possibly weak in that area because I know that it has been a stronghold in my life, and it would be absolutely foolish for me to go that direction. So let's just go through this fairly quick here. Paul refers to certain individuals in the church as strong believers. Those are those who believe they have liberty in gray areas. Those who have liberty in gray areas, and keep in mind freedom. They have the freedom to do these things. They have the freedom to do what they ought, not necessarily what they want, though. Keep that in mind as well. Number two, the weak believer is someone who does not have liberty in gray areas. Because of their background, they thought they had to keep rules they didn't really need to keep. Number three, strong believers are not to despise the weak believer. Strong believers are not to despise the weak believer. You ever notice how quick that conflict can start. Again, I don't want to, I kind of do, but I'm not going to. So many things that are just such small issues that become huge because there are differences of opinions and differences of preferences and differences of convictions. Strong believers are not to despise the weaker brother. That means to look down upon them. Since you people don't wear a tie, ha! Someday you will mature and you will be like Jeff. And you'll wear a tie when you preach. That's the idea behind not despising the weaker believer. Put a tie on when you preach, though, okay? Number four. Weak believers are not to judge the strong believers for using their liberty. Since it's sin for me, it's got to be sin for everyone else. If you don't put a tie on. Okay? Five. The issues causing disunity were eating meat sacrificed to idols, observing days, and drinking wine. Again, some of them struggled to get past their Jewish roots and all of the requirements that went with the law. Six, believers are not to judge each other on these issues. Each one is to be fully convinced in his mind. God is the master and judge over other believers, not us. But sometimes he might need my help, right? Did you hear the voice back there? That messed me up so bad, Daniel, I can't even remember where I was. Okay. Thank you. There was freedom in Christ that some had not realized. Knowledge and freedom isn't everything. Love is. We are to edify our brothers and sisters in Christ and seek peace. Gray areas are not to destroy God's church. Believers can be happy in their private use of liberty. If a Christian cannot do something in faith, it is sin. Like Jesus Christ, we are to live our lives to please others. We are to live our lives to please others. Just in the area of convictions and things that can cause real disunity in the church, when I first moved to Manitoba to begin to pastor that church, we had a family in the church. They were actually the ones who were instrumental in bringing us there. They were good friends. But it was very soon after we got there, we realized that he had desired for us to come because he thought I would be their puppet and be able to accomplish all of the things that he wanted to accomplish in the church. Some of those things, of course, I'm just going to give you a list of some of the things they said, and you can judge whether it was a gray area or something that was very serious. But one of the things that they insisted on, and he became a deacon quite quickly, is within just a couple of weeks of my being there. I had asked him not to, but he told me he was the only one spiritual enough to lead that church. So being brand new in the pastorate, I didn't want to cause a lot of fighting right off the bat. So he became a deacon in the church and a leader. But it was real quickly that they started saying that women were not to have a Bible study in the church. They could do it in homes, but not in the church, because it was a practice in women taking over the leadership in the church. So ladies, from now on, you can have Bible studies, but you cannot have it in the church. Their daughter had gone to school with me up at, actually went to school here for a year, and then when it moved up to Cornerstone, and she was part of helping us get moved up there, but came up to the house one day and had told Nikki and I that she wanted to start having a Bible study down at the church with my daughters. And so I just simply asked her, I said, well, have you changed your mind then? Well, what do you mean? I said, well, you said that that having Bible studies with ladies in a church is just women taking over the church. And of course she got quite upset, and so did her parents as well, that I dared to ask that question. Pretty gray area there, I'd say. Pretty foolish area is what I would say. Okay. Another thing that they said was we were never to sing. I remember, people, this was a few years ago. Some of you know what an overhead is, right? Okay. So we would sing some songs off of the overhead. They made the statement if we did that, they would leave the church. So I made a bunch of overheads and we started singing. No. Then they said that if we sang any contemporary Christian music, that they would go around the community and let them know that we were a bunch of heathens. Talk about gray areas. Talk about areas that were just plain foolish to make those types of stands. I mean, they weren't even willing to discuss things like that. And again, some of these areas we probably need to be careful about. I have no problem with that. But at the same time, to make those demands upon another is exactly what Paul was talking about here. Do we have freedom to let ladies have Bible studies in a church building? Absolutely. Please do. That's what we want. We want ladies studying the Word of God, even if it's in a church building. That's a good thing. Is it sin to sing on an overhead? I don't know what they do today with the way things have gone and things like that. Whoa. I mean, I don't know that the devil's in the overhead. Guess it could be, depending on what you put on it. But you see how sometimes, and these were big issues for them. I mean, huge issues for them. They also became convinced. Never mind, I won't go that direction. That one would take more time than I want. Do we have freedom to be able to do those kinds of things? Again, do we need to be careful? Absolutely. I don't think every song that we sing is glorifying to the Lord, and we at least need to pay attention to what we're singing, without a doubt. But to put them on an overhead so that we can sing them has nothing to do with spirituality. Ladies, having a Bible study in the church is a good thing, and it has to do with spirituality because they will grow. And it's a good thing. Okay, so anyways, there's my little rant for the day. Let's go down to the questions that we can ask. And we'll look these verses up. If somebody will just be ready to get them, we won't go through the down the lines. But Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, can I ask for God's blessing on this? These are questions that we can ask in these gray areas. Okay? Somebody read Philippians 4, 6 and 7.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Okay, can I ask God's blessing on this? Yeah, pray about it. If the Lord gives you peace, if you know that it's something that the Lord is all right with, then yeah, you can ask for God's blessing. Okay, and if God says do it, then do it. If I do this, could it hurt someone's spiritual life? Is a question we need to ask. The stumbling block issue. If I do this, could it hurt someone's spiritual life? Romans chapter 14, 19 and 21, we already read those, but if somebody would get those passages in 1 Corinthians. All right. Does this hurt someone's spiritual life? And I think those are one of those things that we really need to keep in mind. Once again, I have said, I've told you that I wouldn't feel comfortable having a glass of wine at a meal. Say you invite my wife and I over to your house for supper. How would you handle that? And you're used to having a glass of wine with your meal. Maybe it's a Thanksgiving meal, so it's a special occasion. How would you handle that? Or what are some of the things that you could do there? Daniel. Well, we will work on forgiving you. Thank you, Daniel. Okay, why? Exactly. That is it. Sometimes we can take our freedom and we can begin to say, well, I'm going to do this regardless. I have the freedom to do this, so therefore it doesn't matter if it makes Jeff stumble. Well, he just needs to grow up. He needs to, notice I didn't say grow old, I said grow up. But that becomes the thought, doesn't it? I have the freedom to do what I desire to do. Well, not necessarily. Again, love has to be the determining factor. If you truly care for your brother, and sometimes we decide to be a little vindictive, especially if we don't agree with that conviction or that preference. What if it's about music? Well, I know that Jeff doesn't like this style of music, and you know what? I'm gonna turn it on as soon as I see him coming. Because I know the Lord will show him that it's okay. That's the way we think sometimes, though, isn't it? We become just a little bit vindictive in our freedom, okay? Does this give a bad appearance or example? 1 Thessalonians 5:22 and 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Okay, does it give a bad appearance or example? We need to consider what our testimony is at all times. Can I do this with the full knowledge that God is everywhere? Can I do this with the full knowledge that God is everywhere? Psalm 139. Yeah, I think this is one of those questions that we need to ask quite often. Do I understand that God knows what I'm doing and what I'm desiring to do? And keep in mind that quite often it's not just the appearance, but it's the attitudes of the heart. Why do we do the things we do? Well, it's because I have the right to do it. I have a, you can't tell me what to do. And sometimes it becomes a pride, well, all the time, usually it becomes a pride issue. And don't you dare tell me what I can or I can't do. I have all the rights. If I want to do it, I can do it. Again, Jeff needs to grow up if he doesn't agree with me. Okay? Can I do it with the full knowledge that God is everywhere? Have I asked for God's guidance? James 1 and verse 5.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him.
Okay. The Lord promises to give you wisdom. If there's some of those areas that you're unsure in, spend time in prayer. Again, as I shared the other day, I found that in my life, anytime I respond quickly to anything, usually it goes wrong on me because I haven't spent time in prayer. And I'll find that quite often, even if I'm frustrated or aggravated at something, my wife tells me all the time that you don't need to say what's always on your mind, Jeff. Take some time and think it through. And I'm one that, I'm an open book. Sometimes I wish I wasn't as open as I am. But I have found that if I'll take time to pray about things, it saves me a lot of problems. Because I'll see the foolishness of my own reactions sometimes. So just asking for God's guidance in these areas that are preferences, I think will help a lot. There was a time, well, never mind, let's keep moving. I'll get bogged down in stories. Will this help or hinder me in my walk with God? Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Yeah, there are some things that we desire to do that maybe won't help in our walk with the Lord. Maybe things we want to look at, maybe things we want to think about, maybe things that we shouldn't be doing. Is this going to help or is this going to hurt? And notice that, or keep in mind that things are pretty slippery slopes pretty fast. Okay? Will this help or hinder me in my walk with God? Does this have the potential of enslaving me? 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. Okay. Yeah, does this have the potential of enslaving me? Could this unequally yoke me with an unbeliever? 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Okay, quite often we'll tie that to marriages and dating, rightfully so. But what about business partners? What about different areas where we would tie together? Is that forbidden in the scripture? Is that one of those gray areas that we need to be careful in? Okay. Does this unequally yoke me with an unbeliever? Can I do this in faith without any doubts? Can I do this in faith without any doubts? Romans 14, 23.
But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin.
All right, pretty strong verse there. If you doubt, don't do it. if you doubt you should be doing it, then it is likely sin for you to do it. So don't do it. Some might be able to do it. Some may not be able to do it. Again, the glass of wine at the meal. Will this make me more like Jesus? 1 John 2 and verse 6.
Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked.
Okay. Will this make me more like Jesus? Ought to walk in the way in which he walked. But I want to be doing this at the rapture. 1 John 2 and verse 28. And do you believe that the rapture is imminent? That it could happen at any moment? Boy, we need to keep that in mind, but we want to be doing that. Somebody read 1 John 2 and verse 28. Does this make me a good steward? Does this make me a good steward? 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2.
Moreover, it is required to steward someone who is not faithful.
Required of a steward that one be found faithful. What is God looking for? He's looking for faithfulness. He looks at our heart, and he's looking for faithful hearts. And that has to do with our finances, has to do with our time. Keep that in mind as you're finishing out this semester. God wants you to be faithful. He wants you to finish strong. If he called you here to be at school, then he would desire that you finish strong. Also has to do with our bodies. Does it make a good steward of our bodies and the temple that God has given us? This is one that I use quite often. Will this bring glory to God? 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31.
Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Can you do whatever you're questioning to the glory of God? Will it bring God glory? Again, I know I keep going back to that, but one of the questions I've asked others that enjoy alcohol as believers, I've asked them if when they go to buy it, if they're able to hand somebody a tract. As they hand you the bottle, you hand them a tract. Are you able to do that? And if you are, then fine. Or to let them know that you'll pray for them. If you have the conscience that you feel that you can go that direction and it not be a stumbling block for you, then make sure that you're praying for the one that is selling it to you. And most people really struggle with that. Well, I'm not sure that I could. Hilltop, my leaders in the church ran a dinner boat. It was out on the lake, and I'm thankful because on Sunday nights he allowed us to go out and have a service out on the lake. So we would take that out, and all the visitors up in the national park would get on the boat, and we'd go out and I would preach and we would sing, and it was just a good outreach in that community. But one of the things that he decided was that in order to be able to make the money that he needed to make, he would have to sell alcohol with his dinners. And of course, we debated that back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And what I told him is, if you can go and you can buy — I didn't think he would be able to, that's the reason I said this — but I said, if you can go to the liquor store and buy it with a clear conscience, then do it. He struggled with it, but he continued to do it because he wanted to have the business. He needed to make the money. And it turned out that some of his kids became waiters and waitresses on that dinner boat. So, of course, they were serving alcohol. And every one of his children, four of them, now struggle with alcohol. And I don't know that it's because of that reason, but he certainly gave his approval for it. And I know we've talked since, and I know he struggles with the decision he made. So those are the areas where you just really, really need to be careful. Does this bring God glory? Is it making me a good steward? What about my children? How am I going to teach? How am I going to train my children? If it's okay for me to sell, then it's okay for my kids to buy. We're moving along. Does this allow me to show my love for God and for others? Ephesians 5 and verse 2 and John 14, 15. Okay. Will this allow me to show my love for God and for others? Will this lead to temptation? Matthew 26 and verse 41.
Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Do you guys have a weak flesh as well? Just a question for you to ponder. And if your flesh is weak, then be really, really careful in those questionable areas. Okay? The principle of winning the lost. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 33. Okay? You have to keep in mind your testimony. Always keep in mind your testimony. He has written down here that his dad in college chose not to go to a movie theater, not because he thought it was wrong, but his unsaved sisters thought it was wrong for him to go. So he didn't go. Again, you need to keep your witness. He wanted to win them to Christ. Any other thoughts on this? We moved pretty fast there, and we got a few things to cover on Thursday, but we want to get through the material for you. Any thoughts there, questions, arguments, debates? I can take them, yes. If you'd like for me to turn them in for you, I will put them in your box. Just bring them up, set them down on your way out. That'll be great. No other arguments? If you want to go back to music now, you got 2 minutes. Ready, go. You are dismissed. Thank you.
It's a little bit too good.
I didn't take any fruit from that at all. I thought it was good. No, it did not bother me in the least. Everybody got your study notes for your finals, right? Okay. They never made it back to me, so apparently they're gone.